So, we are now in the third and final week of our, I'll call it mini-series, titled Greater. This series has been grounded in a comment made by Jesus that I have now said the first 2 weeks of the series, and I will say it again. And it is found in John, the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 12. And this is what it says for the third time. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. But he doesn't end there. He goes on to say, he will do greater things than these. Greater things than these. This is Jesus speaking, and he's saying, look, if you have faith in me, you will do what I've been doing. And not only doing what I've been doing, but you'll do it greater than me. Now, I don't know about you, but this verse has been a real struggle for me. When I compare my life and the things that I've done for the kingdom and compare it to what this verse says, I realize that there is obviously far more that God wants me to do. Or shall I say, something far greater that God wants me to do. And that's really what the whole premise of the series is about, titled Greater. Doing something greater. Doing something bigger than ourselves. Being involved in something bigger. Or as the scripture says, greater things than even Jesus had done. My mind can't even go there, honestly. I can't even hardly get my mind to think that Jesus calls me to something greater than, or accomplish something greater for the kingdom than even he did. But he does, according to this text. Now, in the first week, we heard about taking a moment to listen to God's call on our life, like Elisha did, and become an apprentice of the king, if you will. And like Elisha, he went back and he burned the plow, as we read about, so there could be nothing for him to go back to or to retreat to. Now for Elisha, Elijah was his mentor. Elijah was his king. He was the one he was learning from. If you will, Elijah was the journeyman, and Elisha was the apprentice. And so he was learning and following and studying Elijah and learning from him. For us, we are apprentices to the one true king, to Jesus himself. We are to model our lives after Jesus. We are to learn from Jesus and to follow what Jesus did and to hang on his every word and to watch everything that he did and to be like him, just as Elijah was doing to Elijah. And then last week we talked about recognizing God's power to help us in our endeavors and so trusting in God's promise to be with you that we prepare accordingly. Basically, trusting in the Lord are about scriptural words that are appropriate here. We talked about digging ditches. We talked about making inroads to those in need in very practical ways. Maybe just simply by buying somebody a cup of coffee. It's somebody that so desperately needs a friend. Or just giving a hug to somebody. And to open up an opportunity to living water to flow to that person. That's what we talked about, this whole idea of digging ditches to let the water flow. And I said last week that it doesn't take an engineer to really see what others need. If we are just open to the concept, if we don't stay closed-minded, it's not hard to see what others need. And now this week, I'd like to continue the discussion by recognizing that in everyone's journey, there will be that moment. There will be a seminal moment, where your beliefs and your actions become one. Where your beliefs and your actions become one. It's that moment when everything just kind of all comes together. Those moments when you just stop thinking or dreaming about something and you actually do it. We've all had those moments in our lives when we think, wow, wouldn't it be cool if I could do this? Or wouldn't it be cool if I did that? Or wouldn't it be cool if we as a church would do this? Or me and my family would do this? Or go there, and you think about it. And even in your mind, you even plan how it would look like or how you would get there or how you'd do it. But then all of a sudden you're overcome with this, that's just not a reality for us. That's just too much money. That's just too far. Our lives are just too busy. We have too many other commitments. It's just not a reality. Yeah, it sounds nice, and yeah, we could. This is what it would look like, but yeah, that's just not a reality for us. So in our spiritual journey, everyone has to have that seminal moment when this dream or this becomes a reality, where these things that we think about or the things that God calls us to actually finally become a reality. And maybe for some of you, that moment is now. See, there was a defining moment for the founding executive of Federal Express, Robert Frock, and he describes the episode in his book, Changing How the World Does Business. And this is a crazy story, but it's true. FedEx's incredible journey to success, the inside story, that's one business principle you likely won't need to explain to FedEx founder Fred Smith. In FedEx's early days, Smith took the company's last $5,000. Think about the size of Federal Express right now. And think about them being down to their last $5,000. And what did he do with it? He took it to Las Vegas to play a blackjack table after the shipping giant was denied a vital business loan. They were down to their last $5,000. He applied for a business loan and he was denied. So he was at this moment where he had to make a decision. I've got the last $5,000. What can I do? The future of the business really depends on it. And so what did he do? He took the $5,000 and went to Vegas. Had Smith's bet gone awry, FedEx wouldn't have been able to foot a $24,000 fuel bill. Obviously, fuel is one of their greatest costs, right? He took the last $5,000, took it to Vegas. It could have turned out very differently, but it didn't. He won enough money to pay the fuel bill. I asked Fred where the funds had come from, and he responded, "The meeting with the General Dynamics Board was a bust, and I knew we needed money for Monday. So I took a plane to Las Vegas and won $27,000. And he responded, "You mean you took our last $5,000? How could you do that?" And he shrugged his shoulders and said, "What difference does it make? Without the funds from the fuels companies, we couldn't have flown anyway." Fred's luck held again. It was not much, but it came at a critical time and kept us in business for another week. Since that harrowing effort, FedEx is much from the ground, of course. In the last fiscal year, FedEx's 146,000 worldwide employees helped earn the company $26.5 billion in revenue. In the near future, FedEx plans to boost profits by nearly $2 billion in a series of cost-cutting measures. The company was down to its final $5,000. He had a vision and a dream for what FedEx could be, or for what FedEx could do. And he was in a moment when he had to make a decision. Now, I'm not condoning gambling. If you're down to your last paycheck, I'm not suggesting you go to the casino and gamble it all away in hopes that you're going to pay your bills just for another week. But it was that moment when vision and reality collided. And he took a risk. And it was a bold risk. But he figured, I have nothing else to lose because I cannot survive another week on $5,000. He had a vision for what Federal Express would be, and he took a bold step to make it happen. And in our text today, Elisha had the same moment. And our text comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'll be starting in verse 1. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." And then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided right and to the left, and the two men crossed over on dry ground. And then in verse 9, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" So the journeyman is saying to his apprentice, "I am about to leave you. What is the one final thing that I can do for you? What is the one final thing that I can teach you, that I can give you before I leave you?" And Elisha replied, "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not." And then in verse 11, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots of horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And then verse 14, then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord God of Elijah?" he asked. And when he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And then in verse 15, the company of the prophets from Jericho were watching. They said this, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed down to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go back and look for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." And Elisha replied, "No, do not send them. Do not send them." Thought I had that fixed. But a couple of things or notes of interest in this text that we cannot overlook. The places that Elijah wanted to visit were all historic Hebrew sites. And I think it's significant because for this this reason. The past is not an anchor, but it should be a rudder to guide us and keep us on track in our spiritual journey. The past should not keep us where we are, but the past should also not be forgotten. The past should guide us into the future. I believe Elijah very intentionally wanted to revisit these historic sites with Elijah before he departed. Those historic sites would be used to remind Elisha of the promises and the power of God. See, Gilgal is where we started in the text, is the first place the Israelites camped when they crossed the Jordan River and entered into the Promised Land. A 15-mile walk to Bethel, which is the place where Abraham and Jacob worshipped, where Jacob heard God's promise to take care of him. And Bethel means the house of God. And then they walked another 15 miles to Jericho, the site of Joshua's first victory in the Promised Land. It was also the site of the tragedy of sin and then the majesty of the Lord who deserves all of the glory. And then finally, the text says they walked 5 miles to the Jordan River, the site of the beginning of the walk into the Promised Land, the parting of the Red Sea, the reminder of Joshua's walk across the river, the first time in all the history which led up to this. I talked a moment ago about that time in our lives when we have that seminal moment in our own spiritual journey, when that which we dream about, that which God calls us to, finally becomes a reality. And we take that step of faith and we decide now is the time that we do something greater. That seminal moment has now come for Elisha in verse 13. It says this, he took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over it. This was the defining moment for Elisha. This was his seminal moment. We all come to the moment where we have to trust in God. It's that moment when our belief of the truth of Scripture is lived out in a practical way. See, we say that we believe in Scripture. We say that we believe in the promises of Scripture. We say that we believe Scripture is truth, but oftentimes our life does not reflect it. Oftentimes we live our lives too passively. We live our lives in such a way that doesn't reflect that belief that God is the powerful God that he says that he is and that we know that he is. As scary as it sounds, to look back or to be tempted to go back to the old ways is just not possible. This was not a time to second guess all the work and the preparation. This was not a time for Elisha to second guess. And we reach that moment in our life when we too have to stop second guessing. Elisha himself had to make the decision to take the action or not. This was the moment. Am I going to take up the mantle that Elijah's left? Am I going to take it? Or am I going to go back? Elisha himself had to make the decision. Elijah was taken up to heaven on the far side of the Jordan River in a whirlwind, the text says. His mentor was gone. Elisha witnessed Elijah leaving. Elisha tore his clothes, called out to his spiritual father, picked up the cloak, and had fallen from Elijah. Elisha walked to the water's edge. What would we do? What would we do? Would we walk to the water's edge, or would we retreat and go back? Would we walk to the water's edge, maybe even take a step in the water, or would we go back? I say, not what would we do, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to walk to the water's edge? Are we going to step in? Are we going to go back? See, we had the text in the New Testament is filled with a mentor named Jesus who lived on this earth and who taught us what to do, who taught us how to love, who taught us how to serve, who showed us how to do it. And he went on away from us. So are we going to pick up that mantle? Are we going to walk to the river's edge, or are we going to retreat? Are we going to go back? See, the apprentice time for Elisha was over, and now it was time for him to lead. And I would suggest that the same is true for us. Our apprentice moment needs to be over. We need to start to lead. The same God who brought him to that moment also promised to be with him until the end. And it's the same is true with us. The God who brought us to this moment in our life is the same God who promises to be with us to the very end. See, God doesn't show us the details or the actions. He shows us himself. And that's all we need to know. That's all we need to see. As if to say, I have the power and I am giving it to you to do it all. Elijah passed on his mantle to Elisha. But guess what? Elisha still had to what? He still had to pick up the mantle, right? He still had to pick it up. He still had to move forward with it. He still had to accept it. And the same is true for each of us. If we want to experience something greater, we must surrender our power and accept the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Because that's what happened. Jesus has gone on before us, but he says, here is my spirit. Here is the mantle. I'm giving it to you. Take it. Go with it. Lead. This is your seminal moment. But we still have to make the decision that we're going to pick it up. We're going to accept it, and we're going to do something with it. Accept God's Holy Spirit. Walk with Jesus through the obedience so that when the time is right, the spiritual mantle will be passed on to us. God has offered us the power of the Holy Spirit, but we still need to take it. For anyone who is sick of playing it safe, for every dreamer who has been devastated and disillusioned, for any undiscovered Elisha determined to show the watching world the greater things God is capable of, the moment is now. The moment is now. Are we ready to show the world the things that God is capable of doing? To show the world the greater things that God is capable of doing? I remember trying to teach Julia how to ride her. Now that little girl she's been a strong-willed and stubborn girl from the time she was able to walk. And I'm telling you, I remember trying to teach her how to ride her bike, and she would have none of it. She wasn't going to do it. Not going to do it, Dad. I'm not going to ride on the bike. I'm too afraid. I'm going to fall. Next summer, try to teach her to ride a bike. I'm not going to do it. I'm too afraid. I'm not getting anywhere near it. I'm not getting on it. It's not going to happen. Didn't want to push her. Following summer, Julie says, Dad, I want to ride my bike. And I said, okay, let's go. I'll help you. She goes, nope, I don't need your help. I'm just going to ride it. So guess what? She got on her bike and she just took off. And she just rode it. And she's never looked back. She's never looked back. She had to have that defining moment when she said, you know what? It's time for me to ride my bike. You've offered it to me last summer, or two summers ago. You offered it to me last summer. This summer, it's time to have that moment. It's time when I decide. And she has never looked back. And she loves riding her bike. And the concept now of not riding her bike is a completely foreign concept. But no matter how many times I offered it to her, until she had that defining moment, until she decided now is the time, it wasn't going to happen. And so Jesus tries to hand us the mantle, and he tries to hand us the mantle, and he tries to hand us the mantle, and it's not going to work until we decide that it's our defining moment, our seminal moment, when we decide, yep, today is the day, now is the time, I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to do something greater. This is the experience of following God. This is where our mission from God and our world collide, if you will. It's the place in the Christian walk that is no longer theoretical, but it's real. And it's the choice to leap into God's arms or to stay on the shore. It's the moment of Peter calling us out to Jesus and he sees Jesus walking out on the water. It's the action that follows the words, come. It's the moments or the actions that follows the word, come. Jesus said to Peter, come. Peter could have stayed in the boat. I probably would have stayed in the boat. The idea of stepping outside of the boat is frightening. Peter stepped out of the boat. And it's frightening, but it's exhilarating and inspiring all at the same time. It's kind of like that moment when somebody comes to Christ for the first time. It's frightening and it's inspiring and exhilarating all at the same time. Now Jesus has left behind his mantle for us in the power of the Holy Spirit. He has. All we have to do is pick it up and go with it. My question is, will you? Will we? Or is the invitation just going to continue to stay there? I don't think the invitation is ever going to go away. So if the answer is yes, I will. I will pick up the mantle that Jesus has left for us, the mantle of his Spirit. I will take it up, and I will do something greater for the kingdom, and I will do something for Jesus. Then this prayer is for you. I pray that you will no longer settle for good enough in your closest relationships, existing together but not really engaging each other. I pray that where you may have settled into comfortable patterns and busyness and mundane living, that you exchange that for greater living and see the glory of God. I pray that that monotonous drone that can come with living together as a family is replaced by a passionate cadence of a family that follows God together. I pray you won't settle for raising good boys and girls who don't get on your nerves or interfere with your dreams, but who are world changers that chase after God and God's dreams for them. I pray that you never settle for good enough of killing time and drawing a paycheck, clocking in and clocking out. God is calling you to something new. I pray he gives you the faith to do so. If God is calling you to step into the job you've already have, I pray he gives you the passion to do so. Either way, I pray that you step into greater influence that God has called you to within your work. I pray that your professional turn into your pulpit, your sport coat become your cloak, your office become your sanctuary, your work become your worship, and I pray that instead of fantasizing about someone else's life, you'll pursue God's greater life for you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for stories like Elijah and Elisha. Lord, and I thank you that in his seminal moment, in his defining moment, when Elisha had to make the choice to pick up the mantle that was left for him or to retreat and go back, that he had the faith to take the mantle and said, this is the moment that I have been preparing for. I have learned well from my teacher and my mentor. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement of that story. And Lord, I pray that we would have the same faith. Lord, your scripture has taught us and shown us your heart. Lord, your scripture has taught us and shown us how to love. Your scripture has taught us and shown us how to serve. And Lord, when you left this earth, you gave us the power of your Holy Spirit and you presented it to us and have given us an opportunity to pick it up and to run with it and to go with it and to do something greater for the kingdom and to do something greater in our lives. And Lord, I pray that when we have that seminal moment, when we have that moment in our own lives, that defining moment, when we have the opportunity to do something greater for you, Lord, and I believe that moment is now. Lord, I pray that we too would be like Elijah. And Lord, we would quit being apprentices. Lord, at some point, just following you and learning from you has to lead to something bigger, has to lead to something more. Lord, just because we take it and run doesn't mean we don't continue to learn. Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to pick up the mantle of your Holy Spirit and do something greater for your kingdom. Do something greater for the church. Do something greater for loving the lost. And do something greater for those that are in need. Lord, we believe in the power and we believe in the promises of your word that you will be with us always, even till the end of the age. And Lord, I pray that we would move forward in that power.